You have your Bibles, you can go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 9. We are in the study of the life of Christ and walking through the book of Luke. And this morning, we're observing Jesus getting ready to send out his disciples and because they're going to go and preach. That's what's going to happen. He's sending them out on a mission to the towns that were nearby. And he gives them specific assignments and instructions. The mission was to accomplish two purposes, I feel like. One was to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God so others can hear it. And secondly, it was a step in their own training process because these are the men who are going to carry out the work of Jesus after he goes back to heaven. In fact, I don't know about you, but how many had to do an internship of some sort before you got your job or you got on the job and had to go, I got to be trained? Anybody? The rest of you just knew what you were doing, and the other half are liars. I'm not sure. I had an internship that I had to walk through and do, and in fact, I chose to do two internships because I just was like, man, I really want to know what I was doing, and I wanted a couple of different experiences to understand because not every church is the same. Anybody ever find that out? Yeah, they're not quite the same. And so you learn different things from different churches. And so I wanted to launch, but I wanted to train myself. I believe Jesus was in the process of beginning to train these disciples for a task that was going to be greatly needed to be done after he goes away, but he needed to train them. Let's go to our scripture, Luke chapter 9. The first two verses in the New International Version read this way. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that we are not only hearers, but Lord, we are responders. Lord, as you tell us what to do, Lord, as you instruct us, may we be quick to respond and do what you've told us. And Lord, not to be afraid or fearful, but Lord, that you have given us the power we need by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we see that Jesus is going to release the gospel through his disciples, and he's going to give them the power to basically do what they've seen Jesus do. Up to this point, Jesus raised the dead, and Jesus healed the sick, and Jesus delivered the people from the demons, and it was Jesus. But this moment, he says, listen, boys, get close to me, and by the way, I'm giving you authority, and I'm giving you power to go out and to do what I've been doing. Wow, what a moment that must have been. But I believe the power and authority was given to validate the proclamation of the kingdom of God that they were representing. God was not just doing this to go, well, here's my wonder-working power. But truly, Jesus was out trying to change lives. That's what he is about doing. And today, I still believe God does miracles. And I still believe he does the extraordinary beyond what we might think is capable because he has all authority and he has all power. Did you notice? To cast out all demons and cure all diseases. In fact, I think we would see more miracles today if we would really walk with the full authority that God has given his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Mark records Jesus' words in Mark 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Does that leave anybody out? Does that leave your boss out? Does that leave your neighbor out? Does that leave your family out? No. Go to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Church, I want you to know God still wants to operate that way today, but not just in the church. He wants to do it in your personal world where you live as a believer. God uses the believer in powerful ways if we'll listen and follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take note of the next instructions that Jesus gives. Verse 3 and 4. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. The idea here seems to be one of simplicity. These men are not to really take time to pack and plan for their trip. You're just supposed to go. You're ready. You're ready. With what you've got, you're ready. They're not supposed to worry about provisions. They're going to trust that God is going to provide for their needs. They're not supposed to look for even better accommodations when they show up in a town. And when they get there, be content with whatever home you end up staying in. They're the travel light. The assignment is different than another assignment he gives them later on in Luke 22, and we'll get to it one day, but let me read it to you. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, take it. And also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Jesus here gives different instructions for a different task that was ahead of them. Church, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit to know what we need at what times, because there might be different situations that require different items. In Luke 9, possibly the reason that Jesus ordered them to travel light was to avoid looking like other false missionaries. Did you know in the ancient world there were false missionaries still preaching false gospels and false religions? And they were out there, most of them, though, for their own personal profit. They would preach whatever religious thought they had, but Jesus wanted his disciples to look different. And I know it's sad when I think about not everybody out there preaching the gospel is really trying to advance the kingdom. Some are in it for what they can get out of it. And unfortunately, those people are missing the point. The mission and the focus of the gospel is to see people transformed by the power of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and used by God for His glory. That's why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples next, verse 5. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus says, if you find yourself in some place and they're not accepting you, welcoming you, you leave the town, shake the dust off your feet. And let it be a testimony against them. Actually, this was something a Jew, a good Jew, would do when they left an alien land. It was part of their custom because they were in this place that was defiled and ungodly. When they would leave, they would shake their coat and their feet and leave the dust of the defilement behind. Basically, if or when the disciples may have done this in that community, we're not told if that happened, but they would be declaring that that community they're leaving is pagan and they don't want to receive the message of Christ. And hopefully it was to cause that community to think deeply about their spiritual condition if they saw that. So let me quickly give you a few things as we're starting here this morning from these opening verses that we can learn. Number one is ministry is to be evangelistic and practical. The disciples were to preach the gospel and extend practical ministry as needed, offering healing in Jesus' name, setting free those that were in bondage to the demonic. Church, did you know we are called to do the same today? Did you know it's not our power, it's His power? And in the name of Jesus, we can offer prayer with faith, believing, and then let God do what God does. He heals and He sets people free. Amen? Amen. A second thing maybe we can walk away in these first few verses is we are to depend on God to provide for us. Many times as individuals, we spend a lot of time trying to eliminate the risk in our lives that we might never know what it is to live by faith. Did you know that Jesus wants us to know we can depend on Him? He will meet our needs. We have to learn to be satisfied and content and let Him provide for us. A third thought is we should not keep wasting our time where we're not wanted. I know, you're going to listen to me. Jesus didn't tell His disciples to stay in those places that were resisting the gospel. He said, move on. Now, that does not mean we give up on people. We might just need to go back at a later time when their hearts are more receptive. I don't know, but some plant, some reap, some water, and God might use some of you to do the reaping, or He might just use you to do some of the sowing. Whatever He chooses, that's okay. Amen? Oh, I know, I want to go in, I want to plant, and I want to prepare it, and I want to reap what God's doing. You don't always do that. What happened as a result of their ministry? Listen to verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Wow. God actually not only called them to do it, but God showed up with them. I don't think God's going to call you to do something that He's not going to show up and be with you and help you. So what happened? Verse 7 says, now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. Others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. The disciples basically went out and did what they were told, and as a result, the word and the work of Jesus spread out into the surrounding areas, and even King Herod heard about what was going on. Now, there's several Herods in the Bible, and I just want to help you for a moment. The Herod at the time of the birth of Jesus, where Mary and Joseph and Jesus went to Exodus, the Herod that was back in control was called Herod the Great. The Herod that we're talking about in this story is the son of Herod the Great. He is called Herod Antipas. And we find in the story later he's the one that wants to examine Jesus before the crucifixion. There is one other biblical Herod that you might read about. He is Herod Agrippa. He is the nephew of Herod Antipas, and he is serving during the time of Paul the apostle. This Herod Antipas, though, in this story, has heard about Jesus, and he probably heard about him before, but suddenly the ministry that he is giving his authority to others is flourishing, and he's wondering, who is this man? Who then is this I hear such things about? Listen, when we live in the power and the demonstration of God's Spirit, we're going to have people around us wondering what's going on. We'll want to see and be engaged in it. It's interesting, though, what people said about Jesus. Some thought he was John the Baptist who had come back to life. Of course, Herod might have been a little concerned about that. He had John executed, beheaded. And it might have haunted him in his thinking, and man, I know I didn't do the right thing, and is he back? Others thought Jesus was Elijah or some other prophet that had been reincarnated. They believed in reincarnation. We do not believe in reincarnation, church. You are a single soul that God made. And unlike other beliefs, some believe that we were angels and you put into somebody and you go back and be an angel. Not true. You were formed and made by God purposely because he wanted fellowship with you. And he called us into relationship with him. And then when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when your soul will live for eternity with him. Now, what we're going to be and do when we get to heaven, I have no idea. But as creative as our God is on this earth, how creative can he be for eternity? He's God. So we don't believe in that, but they believe that. They kind of thought, well, somebody's come back from the grave and the dead. Today, people struggle to understand who Jesus is. They like his words. When I hear those words, they're motivational. They're insightful. And some even dare to think Jesus might be a worthy example to try to follow. People in church like you can kind of go, well, boy, he's a good life coach. I want you to know he is the Lord of life, church. People who want to celebrate his teachings on love, God loves you. But unfortunately, they reject the teachings on the moral issues of life. I'm telling you, we're in a day where I want this part, but I don't want that part. They call him, oh, he's a great teacher. I just don't like the part about repenting and turning from sin. Others, oh, man, he knew how to care for people. But I don't want to be accountable to him, and I don't want to hear anything about judgment and hell. By the way, he talked more about hell than he did heaven. So the question, who then is this I hear such things about? Who is this man? The question is vitally important today. Is he just a religious leader that lived and died? Or is he God who rose from the dead and brought salvation and new life to anyone and everyone who would believe? I encourage you, why don't you ask the question that Herod did? Who is this I'm hearing things about? Read the Gospels. Go to Matthew. Go to Mark. Go to Luke. We're walking through it. And John. And listen to what Jesus said. Look at what he does. And instead of reading about these contemporary writers who are trying to explain away the scriptures today, why don't you listen to the testimony of those who traveled with Jesus? Those who walked with him and saw him. If Jesus is who he says he is the Lord of all creation, the church, he is worthy to be followed. So today, let me give you a few more takeaways, and they are these. First of all, I believe everyone needs training. Church, for us to grow in the grace and the truth, we all need teaching and guidance. I find it troubling for me that there's so many people who come to church still who are struggling with their past because they don't really understand the grace of God. I want you to know when he forgave you of your past, he does not remember it against you. But we have to keep repeating this because the enemy says, don't you remember? And Jesus says, don't you remember? I forgot. And we get in this battle between the two voices. You need to listen to the voice of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've been set free by Jesus because you put your faith in him and you confessed him as Lord, you are free from your past. Don't let it haunt you anymore. But we learn from it. We grow in it. We say, you know what? Those things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus. The reason many of you struggle with the guilt of the past is because you haven't been freed from the past yet. I'm telling you, Jesus is calling us to something greater. And somewhere we have got to truly repent. Repent means turning 180 degrees. A lot of people want to go, I repent from sin, but they forget that they're to turn to Jesus. I don't want to do that. Now what do I do? You follow Jesus. You get your eyes fixed on him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Everybody needs training. You need practical training to serve and how to love people. Church, it's not easy to love the unlovable, but it amazes me. We go on a missions trip. We take the kids or whoever goes with us. And I remember Nicaragua a few years ago. We're there. And we ended up in a dump. We ended up in the dump. And there are people there that their living comes from that. And they're picking out the plastic and this and that. And the whole team is launched into the dump. They told us, go find somebody, ask them what they're looking for, and help them find it. Boy, that was fun. It amazed me, though. We get back on our little bus outside the dump, and man, the hand sanitizer goes around, and we get back in our world so quick, and yet those people are still there. By the way, though, we happened to be there. We went and prayed with people, and today, just outside the dump, if you remember the doubts were with us, there is now a church right outside the dump ministering to those people. It's not about who they are, what they have. It's about them knowing Jesus. But we need to be trained. We needed to be thrust into that situation. If you ever think you have enough training, you don't. Church, I'm still training myself in righteousness. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Catch what it's useful for. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Are you really ready to get into the Word? Are you really ready? Because it's going to bring some rebukes in your life. It's going to bring some correcting in your life. It's going to teach you and it's going to train you how to be righteous and do right things and right way. You need to look for opportunities. Go, God, I want to get into your Word. God, I want to be in a place. I want to be with the men or with the women or the Wednesday night teaching or with the youth or the children. I want to hear the Word of God. I want it to correct my life. I want it to speak to me. I want it to change me because I want to walk as a person who is righteous before my God. Why? He's holy. And he says, be holy for I'm holy. Look for opportunities. Get involved in ministry practically. Why? I tell you what, why don't everybody over this next year take a turn in the nursery? Come on, mamas. Oh, they got children. Let them go through it, you know. They bore it, they bear it, you know. I have never said that in my entire life, and I hope I never say it again. No, but we kind of release and we go, but why don't we get involved? You say, well, I don't, that's really not my calling. Have you ever been in there and found out? Why don't you get involved? Royal Family Kids Camp, youth, be a greeter, be an usher, serve, celebrate recovery, feed the homeless. Go to our outreaches. Be a part. Why don't you get involved with Vacation Bible School next year? All of our workers, Vacation Bible School. Would you stand up, all everybody who worked at Vacation Bible School? Look at these people. Look at there. You may sit. I'm going to do something. I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it. Everybody who didn't do VBS, stand up. Come on. I'm calling you. I'm asking. Listen, you may be seeing. Listen, where are we going to get serious about, you say, this is my church. Then get plugged into what we're doing. If we call a prayer night, show up. When we call a worship night, show up. Why don't next Sunday you show up? There are over 800 people that say, this is my home church. And I keep looking every Sunday going, where are they? Listen, I'm calling us, as we walk through this book, I'm telling you, I'm calling us because Jesus is calling us to something more. And listen, if you try something, don't get discouraged. Try something else. Second takeaway, we must learn to trust the Lord rather than ourselves. A lesson we have to apply every day. Church, we got to trust Him. He's going to provide. And don't put your confidence in all the programs and all the methods that we do. That's why I shook things up this morning and said, listen, we'll do the missionary at the end. And you're going to find out in a moment why. But I'm telling you, I don't want to just fall into programs. I want to fall into the power and the authority of Jesus. I don't want to just run teaching programs up in our children's church. I don't want just youth just to be walking through. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to fill in all those services, all of those times. I want the Holy Spirit to have His way in this place, but not just in this place, in this place, in your place. But are you asking Him? Are you talking to Him? Do you leave here and talk about food or you talk about God? Most of us are going to leave here at some point and go, what do you want to eat? Let me ask you, what are you being fed right now? And are you doing anything with it? Even those who are most creative and talented, listen, cannot do what God can do in an instant through the Holy Spirit. You just need to flow with Him. A third takeaway, when we do our work / ministry correctly, we will point others to Jesus. Did you know our life's work is to bring people to Jesus? Our mission statement, anybody remember it? I haven't said it in a long time. B-E, be the church. What does B stand for? Bringing. What does E stand for? Equipping. Our mission statement here is bringing people to Jesus Christ and equipping them to be like Him. We've got to do that. Our life's work is about bringing people to Jesus. Listen, I want great marriages here. I'd like everybody to be financially good, great stewards. But my real goal for every one of you is grander than any of that. I want you to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. That's what I want you to know. Because why? You've been given that authority. You've been given that power as a believer, as a disciple, to go out and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be others who hold you in high esteem. You might be considered popular. But if your way you're living your life is not leading people to Jesus, then you're not really doing what you've been called to do as a believer. A final takeaway would be this. People are responsible for their own response to the Lord. On Judgment Day, there'll probably be people, they're going to argue with God, and they're going to say, God, if the media would have really told me about Jesus, then I might have believed it. God, you don't know the circumstances of my life. Lord, that church I went to, their programs, or they didn't have these programs. If I would have known, people are going to blame their parents, their government, the missed opportunities in life. Listen, when the disciples left those cities and shook the dust from their feet, it was a reminder that whether you accept your responsibility or not, God will hold you accountable for your response to the gospel. This message of grace and forgiveness and new life, He has to offer it. He has it to everybody, but everybody individually is responsible. And whether you want to admit it or not, you are making decisions today about your spiritual life and your eternity, how you live. And if you're just going to church and you're ignoring God the rest of your life throughout the week, you need to know God is not fooled. He knows your heart. And others may call you spiritual. But in your private life, if you're rebelling against God, you need to know God really knows the truth. So you alone are responsible to choose who or what is going to lead your life. And I pray you will choose the who of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I encourage you, lay aside all the excuses. Quit blaming your schedule, your job, your family history, or your circumstances. You take responsibility for your own life and follow the Lord. Go after God hard. Jesus is calling us to follow him. Those disciples might have been a little apprehensive when they started out on that journey to go and preach. But they took that first step, and they did what the Lord told them. And as a result, God showed up. God will show up with you too. I want you to know God can use you. Believe it or not, God can work his power and his authority through your life. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. But it all starts if we are willing to take that first step and walk in faith and go and preach.